You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is it too late in the process, though, to change that?
Nothing's too late, bro. Everything's made up in politics.
The Wire.
In December last year, the government introduced the Stalking and Harassment Amendment Bill, the first official legislation in Aotearoa to criminalise stalking. Calls for an official stalking bill became widespread in Aotearoa following the murder of 21-year-old Farzana Yakubi, whose calls to the police leading up to her murder were effectively ignored, as stalking was not yet a crime at the time. However, Carrie Leonetti, an associate professor in law at the University of Auckland, who helped create the original draft legislation, said that the new stalking and harassment bill was too weak to actually protect victims of stalking, and that the number of acts that constitute as stalking in the bill didn't cover the full range of potential offences. I spoke to Carrie about why the new stalking bill was ineffective and what was needed to improve it. Is the new stalking and harassment legislation bill robust enough to protect victims of stalking?
No, this is sort of one of the most disappointing aspects of the government's stalking proposal. I mean, to give the government credit, they've done two things that I think needed to be done, which is they needed to create a standalone crime of stalking and put it in the Crimes Act. And they have done a slightly better job than existing law at defining the acts that make up stalking. But in a lot of ways, the government proposal not only fails to improve upon our existing law, but actually weakens our existing stalking protection. So the sort of primary protection that we have against stalking in Aotearoa right now is in the Harassment Act 1997. There's a criminal provision in the Harassment Act, and most of what we would consider to be stalking, if it were going to be charged, would be charged under the Harassment Act. So the government's bill repeals the Harassment Act, and the new crime of stalking they create is actually harder to prove. I mean, provides less protection to victims than the criminal provisions of the Harassment Act. So one of the most sort of baffling choices the government has made in their stalking proposal is under the Harassment Act, in order for somebody to be charged criminally with harassment, they have to engage in two or more acts of what would sort of constitute stalking. The government's changed it to three in their new stalking definition. So under the new proposal, if it passes, a victim who has been subject to a pattern of stalking, including two specific criminal acts, still can't go to the police for help. They have to wait for a third act of stalking. And I have no idea why the government would want to change the definition of stalking from two or more acts to three or more acts. I mean, all that does is allow a stalker to get away with more stalking before the police can intervene and do anything to protect the victim.
So does that mean that the previous Harassment Act was actually better at addressing stalking and harassment than this new bill?
In some ways, yeah. I mean, if I have to choose between the existing Harassment Act and the government's new stalking proposal, I honestly don't know which one I would choose. I mean, it's good that they've moved it into the Crimes Act. It's good that they've added what they've done with sort of the acts that constitute stalking is bring us a little bit more into the cyber age, like recognize some more kinds of cyber stalking acts. But the bill also, and I'm honestly not sure if this is on purpose or accidental, but it actually modifies what's known as the result element. So stalking occurs when the perpetrator sort of engages in acts as part of a pattern of conduct against the victim, and it causes the victim or could or would reasonably cause the victim fear or distress. So the Harassment Act says it would cause the victim fear or distress in their particular circumstances. The government's removed the in their particular circumstances language. I don't know if that's purposeful or accidental, but it actually really concerns me because a court is likely to interpret that as meaning the government wants to only criminalize behavior that would cause fear or distress in some global, general, reasonable person, not a person who has experienced stalking. And it's particularly problematic because the majority of stalking occurs in the context of intimate partner violence. Like, it's very common when somebody ends a relationship for the person who doesn't want to break up to stalk the person who does. So it's really important to take into consideration the history of domestic violence that preceded the stalking in determining whether sort of otherwise trivial or small acts might actually be really scary for that victim. So that's concerning. But one of the biggest concerns I have is the government has created new defenses to stalking. So they've created these huge new defenses to stalking. So it's a defense to stalk someone. If you have a lawful purpose, that one doesn't bother me as much. But if you have a reasonable excuse, or if you're stalking someone in the public interest, and In particular, it's the reasonable excuse defense that really concerns me because, again, a lot of stalking is between people who are formerly in an intimate relationship. A lot of stalkers stalk former partners claiming that they're checking up on relationship property. They're checking up on shared children. You know, they hire a private investigator in the wake of a separation. And I'm very concerned that that person could say, well, that's a reasonable excuse to stalk someone. I find it very hard to believe anybody who engages in the conduct that meets the definition of stalking would ever have a reasonable excuse for doing it. And I'm incredibly concerned that the government's created this wide open defense because now, if a stalker can create a reasonable doubt in a jury's mind about whether they had a good reason for stalking, that's a defense. That's a defense to stalking the victim. So the new defense, the change in the sort of in the language about the result that the impact it has to have on the victim, like how reasonable that victim has to be in their fear, and the change from 2 to 3 acts, those three things together will actually massively weaken our stalking protection. And I just don't understand why the government would want to take a bad act and sort of make it even weaker as they move it into the Crimes Act.
Right. And how does the new legislation fare when it comes to covering digital stalking and internet and social media stalking?
I mean, in some ways, that is an improvement. You know, one of the complaints people had about the Harassment Act is because it's 30 years old. It contemplated in-person stalking, not sort of cyber stalking. So the government, I would say, generally has made the language around stalking broader so that it can cover digital forms of stalking, and that's good. That being said, one of the concerns I have is within this sort of list of the types of stalking, they've left off a couple of things that I think are incredibly important and that are sort of digital in nature. So the legislation doesn't criminalize doxing. It doesn't criminalize a perpetrator publishing information about the victim online as part of a campaign of stalking. And doxing, like dumping personal information about victims, is actually a very common form of digital stalking. Even just things like logging on the victim's Facebook page and posting nasty things that all their friends and family will see, like that isn't actually covered specifically under the government's language around conduct. Also monitoring the victim's communications, like so putting spyware on someone's computer or hacking. I mean, hacking probably is covered under other aspects of the Crimes Act. But if you have joint access to a computer and you're monitoring their communications, that's not specifically covered. And that's a pretty common form of stalking.
Another thing I wanted to address is that you yourself were involved in creating the initial draft of the bill before it went through the government. How much does this new bill deviate from the draft that you initially proposed?
A lot, yeah. So Allison Towns and I provided the government, I think it's been about almost a year ago now, or maybe more than 6 months ago, provided the government with a draft statute. It's by no means perfect, but there are enormous ways that the government's legislation deviates from that. So one is we had a much larger list of conduct that would constitute stalking, and we wanted to make clear that that it's a non-exhaustive list, right? I mean, there might be a creative way somebody would stalk somebody else that shouldn't be excluded because it's not listed specifically in the statute. The government's bill also retains from the Harassment Act this 12-month requirement that the acts of harassment have to be within a 12-month period. And there's just no rhyme or reason for that. I mean, I'm at a loss as to why if somebody waits 13 months to commit a second act of stalking, we want to have a do-over. Like, so basically, I mean, especially because they say three or more, you could commit 2 acts of stalking every 12 months for 10 years against somebody under the government's proposed legislation, and you never have stalked them as long as you space your acts out. I'm at a loss as to why if somebody stalks someone over a 13 or 14th or 15-month period, we wouldn't want to include that in the legislation. In fact, I think in practice, stalkers who maintain a fixation for a longer period of time are more dangerous. You know, I'm less worried about the person who stalks frantically for 36 hours and moves on than I am about the person who systematically stalks over a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years. So keeping that 12-month time limitation out of the Harassment Act, I don't think makes any sense. Another thing that it does is, so often people stalk through third parties. So if person A wants to stalk person B, sometimes they stalk coworkers and colleagues and bosses. They stalk neighbors, they stalk friends, they stalk social acquaintances of that primary victim as a way to get to the primary victim. And the government's legislation only covers stalking a person by stalking their family members, but no one else, right? So if someone is harassing their target's employer, let's say trying to get them fired, that's not stalking under the government's bill because that employer isn't a family member of the victim. If this is the best the government can do, I'm honestly inclined to believe that the Harassment Act we have in place right now is better than the stalking provision that they've proposed. And that's really a tragedy because our Harassment Act is horribly out of date. And we just know, the police over and over again have victims of stalking come to them and say, there's nothing we can do for you. I mean, I feel like if we're going to once every 30 years update our stalking laws, we need to take advantage of this moment in time to have an act that actually protects victims. And I think it would really be a tragedy to use this sort of stalking reform to water down our protections instead of making them stronger.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.